through the crowd.
Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. I'm sitting here listening to Obama's talk to the grieving people in Tucson. Can we carry some of that? We're going to take a little bit of this. It's very emotional. The only negative thought, I don't think it's negative, that I had in listening so far is I think about my own daughter, Molly, who's 6 and a half, and I think about the little girl who was shot dead. And even though there's an awful lot of camaraderie and a feel-good, you know, we got to rise above this kind of thing, I think about the parents of this little girl. How can they cope with this? Let's listen to President Obama for a few minutes.
We may ask ourselves if we've shown enough kindness and generosity and compassion to the people in our lives. Perhaps we question whether we're doing right by our children or our community, whether our priorities are in order. We recognize our own mortality, and we are reminded that in the fleeting time we have on this earth, what matters is not wealth or status, or power, or fame, but rather how well we have loved, and what small part we have played in making the lives of other people better. And that process of reflection, of making sure we align our values with our actions, that, I believe, is what a tragedy like this requires. For those who were harmed, those who were killed, they are part of our family, an American family, 300 million strong.
I wish that were true.
We may not have known them personally, but surely we see ourselves in them. In George, in Dot, in Dorwin, and Mavi, we sense the abiding love we have for our own husbands, our own wives, our own life partners. Phyllis, she's our mom, or our grandma. Gabe, our brother or son. In Judge Roll, we recognize not only a man who prized his family and doing his job well, but also a man who embodied America's fidelity to the law. And in Gabby, we see a reflection of our public spiritedness, that desire to participate in that sometimes frustrating, sometimes contentious, but always necessary and never-ending process to form a more perfect union. And in Christina, we see all of our children. So curious, so trusting, so energetic, so full of magic, so deserving of our love. and so deserving of our good example. If this tragedy prompts reflection and debate, as it should, let's make sure it's worthy of those we have lost. Let's make sure it's not on the usual plane of politics and point scoring and pettiness that drifts away in the next news cycle. The loss of these wonderful people should make every one of us strive to be better. To be better in our private lives, to be better friends and neighbors and co-workers and parents. And if, as has been discussed in recent days, their death helps usher in more civility in our public discourse, let us remember it is not because a simple lack of civility caused this tragedy. It did not. But rather because only a more civil and honest public discourse can help us face up to the challenges of our nation in a way that would make them proud. We should be civil because we want to live up to the example of public servants like John Roll and Gabby Giffords, who knew first and foremost that we are all Americans and that we can question each other's ideas without questioning each other's love of country, and that our task, working together, is to constantly widen the circle of our concern so that we bequeath the American dream to future generations. They believed, and I believe, that we can be better. Those who died here, those who saved lives here, they helped me believe. We may not be able to stop all evil in the world, but I know that how we treat one another, that's entirely up to us. And I believe that for all our imperfections, we are full of decency and goodness, and that the forces that divide us are not as strong as those that unite us. That's what I believe, in part because that's what a child like Christina Taylor Greene believed. Imagine for a moment, here was a young girl who was just becoming aware of our democracy, just beginning to understand the obligations of citizenship, just starting to glimpse the fact that someday she too might play a part in shaping her nation's future. She had been elected to her student council. She saw public service as something exciting and hopeful. She was off to meet her congresswoman, someone she was sure was good and important and might be a role model. She saw all this through the eyes of a child, undimmed by the cynicism or vitriol that we adults all too often just take for granted. I want to live up to her expectations. I want our democracy to be as good as Christina imagined. mentioned it. I want America to be as good as you imagined it. All of us, we should do everything we can do to make sure this country lives up to our children.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. We're going to carry a little bit more of this before we get to the regular section of the program. Well, not regular section, but we get to our regular programming. So it is difficult. It is difficult to listen. It's difficult for me. I don't know about you, to listen to the cheering at a memorial service, but I guess it's appropriate. We'll be right back.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Better speak to the powers that be today. Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? You can take your revenge.
Welcome back. It is 21 past the hour. I believe it's the Chancellor of the University of Phoenix that's speaking now, taking a moment of prayer. So we're not going to rejoin the memorial service from Tucson. By the way, this hour is sponsored by Jeff Graham in Los Angeles. He says, Mike, thank you for sharing your passion and rage with all truth seekers like me, Jeff in Los Angeles. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the sponsorship. I don't know exactly where to begin tonight. I guess what might be appropriate is as a point of, or as a counterpoint to Obama's memorial address to this crowd. I'm going to play about 2.5 minutes, broken into three pieces, some clips from Sarah Palin's self-serving, insane response to this tragedy in Tucson. I don't believe anyone should harbor any doubts whatsoever that Sarah Palin is another one of these insane people. She kills things on video deliberately so people can watch her kill. She suggests that people be killed. She is an idiot. She's one of the most ignorant people ever to be vomited up on the public stage. But before we play those clips, a personal note to me, the shooting, the killing of all these people, and not just these six and the 14 who were wounded, but so many people who have been killed by this random gun violence, these multi-round magazine clips that are so easy for anybody to get their hands on. This country is just goddamn sick. It's gun sick. And I don't mean you and I don't mean me. I'm talking about the NRA types, these crazy bastards who show up at political rallies with guns, these crazy bastards who insist that no gun laws be passed at all. Every time a city tries to pass a law to protect its citizens from the crazies, and I don't just mean clinically insane. I mean somebody who is politically insane, somebody who is wants to kill for sport. Every time a city tries to pass a law, this filthy, disgusting National Rifle Association claws its way out of its coffin and goes to Washington or wherever and says, "No, you won't do this." And it doesn't get done. You know, to be ruled by, to have our legislative process ruled by two or three factions of corporate crazy people, the gun industry, the ammunition industry owns the NRA by every piece of the NRA. Wayne LaPierre is nothing more than a whore for this huge murderous pimp, the gun industry. And he loves being a whore. And by the way, The people watching this on the far right tonight, watching Obama, sat there drunk on their asses, probably firing their guns out the door. They love this. They love this. They want to see more of it, right? As far as Obama's address to this during this memorial service, is very eloquent. I think it was well said. It was well done insofar as a memorial speech. But I couldn't help but think of the people who lost family members. I couldn't help but think about Christina's parents. You know, I have a six and a half year old, almost 7 year old daughter. And I don't care who would come and speak. I don't care how much hugging and cheering and applause there would be. If my daughter had been gunned down because for years the right wing in this country and crazy people like Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and the rest of these filth have been egging people on, pushing people, and Glenn Beck pushing and pushing and pushing. And then some crazy son of a bitch finally did it and shot my daughter. I don't care who attended or who gave a speech or how many people turned out to clap and cheer. I would never again be the same. And I hold Sarah Palin responsible. I hold Glenn Beck responsible. I hold Rush Limbaugh responsible. I hold every one of these right-wing sons of bitches responsible for what continues to happen. And we'll all talk about this, and we'll all feel bad about it until the next time it happens, because nothing, nothing will be done to stop the gun violence. No reasonable, rational gun laws will be passed. You want a Glock 19 with a 30 cartridge clip? No problem! And it'll never change. And there's one other person I blame, too, and I'll tell you who that is when we come back. Stay with us.
Every time you look around, well, it all just seems to change. But hanging on is easy. When you've got a friend to call, when nothing's making sense at all, you're not the only afraid of change.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malone.
Before the hour, I listened to a lot of garbage today in the past couple of days from right wingers trying to justify the continuing gun culture, trying to convince the interviewers that you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people, the usual garbage from these Nazi sons of bitches. That are nothing more than goose-stepping mouthpieces for the weapons industry. I've listened to it every time there's a shooting like this. 32 dead in West Virginia, 20 dead on an army fort, 10 dead here, 20 dead there, 15 dead there, 18 in, there, 13 in Columbine. I mean, it just goes on. And every time it happens, these filthy vermin that represent the gun industry come crawling out of under their rocks and their dark corners and out of the woodwork talking about the Second Amendment. And it's usually the same group of thugs, but there was a new one that struck me. And this is going to piss some of you people off because I know a lot of you are his fans. But, you know, all the defensive guns, even multi-round clips, these huge magazines that contain 19, 20, 30 rounds, that do nothing. They're not designed for anything but to kill people. You don't use a 30-round semi-automatic handgun for anything other than to kill people. The Glock manufacturing company loves this. Every time 20 people are wiped out in this country, they're made in Austria, the Glock manufacturer sees an uptick in sales that is astounding. The latest defender of 30-round magazines, Ed Schultz, the guy who promotes himself as a liberal or a progressive and is neither. On Lawrence O'Donnell's program on MSNBC last night, there he sat. While Lawrence O'Donnell says to him, well, Ed, you know, you're my colleague here on MSNBC. I've never owned a gun, Ed. Maybe you can explain to me, why do people need 30-round magazines? And Schultz explained to him why. And it was garbage. It might as well have been coming from Wayne LaPierre. It was astonishing. So for all of you people who think that because Schultz spouts some liberal rhetoric, Ed Schultz is part of the problem in this country. He's not part of the solution. Oh, by the way, this hour is sponsored by Jeff Graham. Mike, he writes, thank you for sharing your passion and rage with all truth seekers like me. Jeff in Los Angeles. Thank you, Jeff. ABC television shows this toxic, crazy woman. I don't know how else to describe Sarah Palin. This is one insane person. She's like Beck. These people are high-performing, insane people. There is no question that neither of them, nor Limbaugh, nor the rest of this cadre of neo-Nazis is anywhere near sane. But ABC today, I forget who the anchor was. Or was it, I forget who it was. But Claire Shipman was a reporter. And they played a couple of, I guess it was on Diane Sawyer's program. They play a couple of clips of Sarah Palin in this 8-minute video that she put out there where she talks about blood libel. I hope every Jew in America understands what Sarah Palin was saying about that. And some of you Christians should figure it out, too. But Claire Shipman plays a couple of parts of the speech and then says, Diane, it was almost a presidential speech. I mean, Jesus Christ! Claire Shipman on ABC. And then Claire Shipman finishes her 2.5-minute piece by saying, oh, and a spokeswoman for the Palin camp, the Palin camp, tells us that now Miss Palin is receiving death threats. Oh, that's according to a spokeswoman for Sarah Palin? And you report that as news? And you say that the speech this crazy woman gave and put out there on video was almost presidential? What do you mean, ABC? And then on CNN earlier today, Carolyn Costello had some freakish bastard on named Al Baldessaro, who is a Republican member of the House in New Hampshire. And I tuned in just at the part that this psychopath was saying Democrats want to take away our freedoms with gun control. Here they are again. This thick-tongued talking freak sits there, and Carolyn Costello does not challenge that statement. Well, these Democrats, they've always wanted to take away our freedoms by restricting the Second Amendment, and we're not going to let them. And Carolyn Costello finishes up right after that statement by saying, well, thank you, Representative Baldessaro, for joining us. Jesus Christ. Every one of these weasels on network news, every single one of them, follow the company line. Gangster capitalism is what we're about in this country, and God help you, or somebody help you, if you step outside that model. Gangster capitalism. And then you have these enablers, all these slick-looking chicks and hunky-looking guys on television, easing the way, greasing the path, never challenging these sons of bitches at all. Sarah Palin's statements were almost presidential, Diane. Infuriating. Absolutely infuriating. Let me calm down a second here. Not only do you have the NRA and these right-wing bastards trying to tell me and you that the Second Amendment allows you to carry a 30-round clip in your Glock 19 as part of your constitutional freedom, but now we have Ed Schultz telling people that. Oh, by the way, in order to try to calm down, let me mention this. This doesn't cost anything. I now have my own Twitter page. Is that what it's called, Kathy? A Twitter page? The log on, or what do you call it? The No Flying Monkeys is the Twitter page. So if you want to sign up and or whatever the hell you want to do, I don't know. No Flying Monkeys. Yeah, Mike is tweeting. I don't know what the hell else to do. All right, do we have time to play the first one? It's only 66 seconds. Okay. What Sarah Palin does is explain how this tragedy has affected her. Because, you know, it really is all about her. I've never heard anything that was just more gagging. The only positive note about this where it concerns Sarah Palin is that this ends any idea she has ever had for any political office other than maybe being in charge of garbage collection in Anchorage. This is it, Palin. Keep making your money. She never really had any desire for political office anyway. Are you kidding me? That's just the cow whose teats she's been pulling on now for 2 years. She and her advisors knew they didn't have an Ice Cube's chance in hell. Her and McCain, after 8 years of the crime family. But the money, right, Sarah? You and your gangster capitalism? The money! Wow. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, this hour is sponsored by Jeff in Los Angeles, who writes, Mike, thanks for sharing your passion and rage with all truth seekers like me. All right, Sarah Palin, in this first clip, she explains how the tragedy has affected her personally because, well, you know, it really is all about her.
Like many, I've spent the last few days reflecting on what happened and praying for guidance. After the shocking tragedy, I listened at first puzzled, then with concern, and now with sadness, to the irresponsible statements from people attempting to apportion blame for this terrible event. President Reagan said, we must reject the idea that every time a law is broken, society is guilty rather than the lawbreaker. It is time to restore the American precept that each individual is accountable for his actions.
But not you, right?
Acts of monstrous criminality stand on their own. They begin and end with the criminals who commit them, not collectively with all the citizens of a state, not with those who listen to talk radio, not with maps of swing districts used by both sides of the aisle, not with law-abiding citizens who respectfully exercise their First Amendment rights at campaign rallies, not with those who proudly voted in the last election.
Oh, for God's sake. Not with maps of swing districts used by both sides of the aisle. Let me ask you something, you psychopath. What Democrat used gun sights to target Republicans? Hello? God. She quotes Reagan? It's impossible for any teabagger to speak without talking about either Reagan or 9/11, right? She says, we must reject the idea that every time a law is broken, society is guilty rather than the lawbreaker. Not society. Nobody is saying society, although that's a good place. That's a good second place. It's you, Palin, you and your ilk, who use the rhetoric of violence to incite the lunatics to go do the violence that you wouldn't even get near, but you want it done. What a freak. St. Sarah sends a secret message to the uber-Christian wingnuts who understand the coded religious rhetoric like blood libel. Astonishingly, she claims she is as much a martyr as the Jews who were persecuted and butchered after being falsely accused of murdering Christian children to use their blood in Passover matzah.
If you don't like a person's vision for the country, you're free to debate that vision. If you don't like their ideas, you're free to propose better ideas. But, especially within hours of a tragedy unfolding, journalists and pundits should not manufacture a blood libel that serves only to incite the very hatred and violence that they purport to condemn. That is reprehensible.
Oh my God.
There are those who claim political rhetoric is to blame for the despicable act of this deranged, apparently apolitical criminal.
He was a
and
Republican!
They claim political debate has somehow gotten more heated just recently. But when was it less heated? Back in those calm days when political figures literally settled their differences with dueling pistols?
Oh my God.
In an ideal world, all discourse would be civil and all disagreements cordial. But our founding fathers knew they weren't designing a system for perfect men and women. If men and women were angels, there would be no need for government.
Doesn't she sound like the head cheerleader at your high school 45 years ago reading something that was printed for her? Doesn't she? An apparently apolitical criminal? He wasn't apolitical. He listened to you and Beck and Limbaugh, and Hannity, and he committed multiple murders, and he was a registered Democrat. And settling differences with dueling pistols, you just can't stop the gun references, can you, you psychopath? Shot any wolves today, Sarah? And if men and women were angels, she says, there would be no need for government. Oh, well, that means God is dead then, right, Sarah? So you now admit government is needed to set rules and regulations that limit freedoms in order to protect the citizens? What? If men and women were angels, there would be no need for government. What? How does that sit with your libertarian teabag freaks? What? If men and women were angels, there would be no need for government. She said it. You phony, phony, fake. Forget her scummy, don't retreat, reload. Her new motto is, don't retreat, rewrite. First Camp Sarah absurdly claimed that the incendiary map on her website that showed gun crosshairs weren't gun crosshairs, but merely friendly surveyor marks you find on any map. And now she claims, when she calls her minions to take up arms, she really means go vote. Silly us. How could we have made that mistake? Can you ever forgive us, Sarah, for our gross misunderstanding of your meanings? You are such a victim, such a martyr for the cause of freedom.
As I said while campaigning for others last March in Arizona during a very heated primary race, I said, we know violence isn't the answer. When we take up our arms, we're talking about our vote.
Oh.
Yes, our debates are full of passion.
Passion.
But we settle our political differences respectfully at the ballot box.
Oh, I see.
In times like these, we need God's guidance and the peace he provides.
Right.
We need strength to not let the random acts of a criminal turn us against ourselves or weaken our solid foundation.
Yeah.
Or provide a pretext to stifle debate.
What we need in times like this is not God's guidance or the peace he provides. We need a big cork to stuff in your mouth, Sarah, to shut your ass up. It is 7 past the hour. Gangster capitalism's chief spokesman for NBC is on Lawrence O'Donnell's show. What was his name? The former anchor? How soon we forget. Tom Brokaw. God, drawn a blank, complete blank. Chief spokesman for gangster capitalism. There he is, Tom Brokaw. This hour is sponsored by Lynn Lampkin, who writes her message in memory of Joe Suits, who at age 16 killed himself after being diagnosed with schizophrenia, and for all those who suffer so. Lynn Lampkin is our sponsor this hour. Thank you, Lynn. I'm sorry about the person's death. A couple of emails here from Gorilla Monk regarding Obama's speech tonight. Barack Obama says we need to make America live up to our children's expectations. Well, what has he done toward that goal? He's continued two illegal wars. We see endless predator drone strikes killing countless civilians, including children. Guantanamo is still open. Our civil liberties are still under attack. The constant attempts to keep us from the truth, most recently exemplified by the demonization of WikiLeaks. Call me cynical, but I'm tired of this guy's talk. It's time for him to take action or step aside. Gorilla Monk. Al in Pensacola writes essentially the same thing. Hi, Mike. Obama is saying what a good politician should say. However, I can't take him seriously when he still supports U.S. aggression around the world. Al in Pensacola. I know. I mean, how do you separate the macro from the micro? To a cynic like me or Al or Gorilla Monk, it can't be done. The micro is the macro and vice versa. And while words at a funeral, like words at a wedding, always move me to some kind of tears, and if it's the funeral of a child, I'm almost inconsolable, I still find that thick vein of hypocrisy, duplicity, running through a speech like the one that Obama gave tonight. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Why doesn't the president go back to Washington and tomorrow have a press conference and say, we are beginning the withdrawal of our troops from Iraq and Afghanistan today. And when the last man is out, then we will begin withdrawing our troops from the 90 countries where we have them bivouacked. And we are going to stop killing people in the name of gangster capitalism. Why doesn't he do that? Is there anybody who will do that? This country is almost hollowed out, except for the top 1%. What you got to lose, Mr. President? Just declare it's over. No more official U.S. government killing. And if you don't like the rest of the world, whoever the rest of the world happens to be at any given moment, let them kill each other, right? Just stop it. Just stop it. Yeah, right. Right. Sarah Palin's use of that term, blood libel, has, I like this term, raised the ire of the Jewish community. The blood libel phrase, you probably know, refers to accusations that began hundreds of years ago that Jews used the blood of murdered Christian children. It has been always thus, hasn't it? Always thus. To make matzah. Hank Sheinkoff of a Jewish New York-based Democratic political consultant told Politico, quote, the blood libel is something anti-Semites have historically used in Europe as an excuse to murder Jews. The comparison is stupid. Jews and rational people will find it objectionable. This will forever link her to the events in Tucson. It deepens the hole she's already dug for herself. It's absolutely inappropriate. Yeah, I think so. J Street President Jeremy Ben-Ami, who, didn't we have him on the program when J Street first was put together? I think so. That is an alternative to AIPAC. And he criticized Palin's use of the term. Jeremy said, quote, we hope that Governor Palin will recognize, why does he call her governor? She wasn't a she didn't serve her term as a governor. If you're going to be really, really truthful, call her half governor. We hope that Governor Palin will recognize when it is brought to her attention that the term blood libel brings back painful echoes of a very dark time in our communal history when Jews were falsely accused of committing heinous deeds. When Governor Palin learns that many Jews are pained by and take offense at the use of the term, we are sure that she will choose to retract her comment, apologize, and make a less inflammatory choice of words, end quote. Jeremy, I think maybe you're being a little self-delusional there. Sarah Palin, first of all, she has no idea. Somebody put the term in there for her. She wrote not a single word That little cri de coeur that she put out there, that 8-minute video of, oh, my heart bleeds for what happened. Oh, it's all about me. Oh. Understand the term blood libel? Apologize? David Harris, president and CEO of the National Jewish Democratic Council, said, quote, "All we had asked following this weekend's tragedy was for prayers for the dead and wounded, and for all of us to take a step back and look inward to see how we can improve the tenor of our coarsening public debate. Sarah Palin's invocation of a blood libel charge against her by her perceived enemies is hardly a step in the right direction," end quote. Put a cork in it, Palin. Shut the hell up. Go back to Alaska. Go spend your money. Go to Lord & Taylor. Get a credit card. Go to Bloomie's. Spend some money. Shut up. Wendy in Seattle writes, "Mike, I only caught about an hour of the show last night, but it sounded like some listeners were asking you to tone down the rhetoric in light of the shootings in Tucson." Well, as a longtime listener, I strongly disagree. Of course, we can all quietly and politely agree to disagree. That's a great option. And then the right will gleefully roll over us like a steamroller. This is self-defense, folks. Wake up. These people would just as soon kill us if they thought they could get away with it. Republicans have had plenty of time to see where things are headed and to stand up for what is right. I cannot imagine calling anyone a friend who still votes for this party. But they've decided to support the teabagger wing either with their silence or with their support for idiots like Palin, who, like any good politician, only gives a crap about their money and their votes on election day. Unless and until we are all ready to be real Gandhi-like, go outside and sit in the street, or do nothing, as you often say, we cannot stop fighting back with words. Nice ideas, but we clearly haven't been dumped on enough yet. You speak for me, Mike, and I worry for your health. As you say, it wears you down when you deal with it every day. Wendy. No, I don't have any health issues about the passion that I feel on this program. Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's probably the only thing that keeps me from having a heart attack or a stroke. I'm in perfect physical condition. That sounds like famous last words, doesn't it? Well, except for what happened, I got a, Kathy says, except for the dysentery. Yeah, I got a bad stomach flu and fainted from dehydration and busted open my head. But they tested everything about me in that hospital. Everything. And it all checked out. Neener, neener, neener. The hour, and this hour is sponsored by Lynn Lampkin. Her message, in memory of Joe Suits, who at age 16 killed himself after being diagnosed with schizophrenia, and for all those who suffer so. John in Pflugerville, Texas, writes, I heard someone say today on Tom Hartman's show, quote, "When you go into Walmart and order Sudafed or Benadryl, they ask to see your license. When you go in and buy 20 boxes of 9mm shells, they tape your bag up with a smiley face to make sure you don't slip any Sudafed into your bag on the way out." Crazy. Yeah, isn't that the truth? Every time that, what was it? I was in a grocery store the other day. What was I asking for, Kathy? Do you remember? And the 20-something chick wanted to see, well, asked me if I was over 21. What was that? I don't even remember. We don't eat that stuff, that over-the-counter medicine, so I don't remember what it is.
No, the last time I was carded was for buying aerosol spray paint to paint Molly's desk, and I just stared at them. I said, I'm not going to drink it. And they said, you might huff it. I said, I might what?
Yeah, well, you look like a huffer. Whoops, be careful there.
I know you meant heifer.
No, I didn't. From Marshall in Duncannon, PA, for the past couple of years, Sarah Palin has been traveling the countryside, slamming Democrats for hating America and targeting Democratic congressional districts. Take back the 20 districts website with gun sight crosshairs. Now, in the wake of the Tucson shooting, Palin's Rambo image has come back to bite her in the ass. The political heat is on. She's squirming like she's a criminal caught up in a big lie. Her presidential ambitions are being flushed down the political toilet, and there's nothing she can do. The political hole she has dug for herself is getting bigger and bigger. She's sinking deeper and deeper. This is Sarah Palin's new reality. When you Google crosshairs, you get Sarah Palin's name. She will always be associated with crosshairs. Forever. This is the end of her political life. Good riddance. From Marshall in Duncannon, PA. Well, I still maintain that she really didn't have political ambitions. The people pushing her up front did. They wanted her in there because she would be more easy more easily controlled than Chuckle Nuts from Texas ever was. Chucklenuts had this alarming tendency to every once in a while wander off into the woods with Dick Cheney screaming, Chucklenuts, come back here. Mr. President, come back here. You're going off. You're going in the wrong direction. Come back here. And Chucklenuts would just look at him, give him the finger. And the next thing you know, we'd be in another war. But Sarah Palin would not do that. Sarah Palin would be very easily manageable. You know who would manage her? That her own Svengali, her husband, Todd. And you know that's true. You know that's true. From Kathy in Maine. Oops, we got a break here. Well, let me try it. I, Mike, to loosely quote the legendary president of the Republican Party, Ronald Reagan. There she goes again. Sarah, the self-proclaimed Mama Grizzly, Palin has again ratcheted up the hateful rhetoric she's most famous for. She broke her unexpected silence for several days since the Arizona shooting with an absolute conflagration of her own victimization. In her YouTube video, she phonily posed like a politician messaging to the American people. Sickeningly, she points out that we are not in this society together. To Sarah, we are all standing alone, unaffected by the facets of the society and culture in which we live. All people, no matter what their plight in the society, are at fault for who and where they are, whether poor, sick, or homeless. But to Sarah, if you are rich, then you're worthy. Her masterful ability to divide this country is breathtaking. Not entirely unexpectedly, Sarah then takes no responsibility for herself, her speech, her actions, or her role in the right-wing hate talk machine. Astonishingly, Sarah claims she is a victim of blood libel. Does she have any idea what those words invoke? Is Sarah a Jew? Why would she invoke anti-Semitic terminology to prove her own victimhood? Again, Sarah proves she is perpetually nonsensical. This woman is entirely unfit to be heard. She is clearly a narcissistic sociopath that cannot see her own faults, and she is incapable of ever admitting them. She needs to be ignored, and her role in the discourse of this country needs to be diminished to a squeak. Words matter. Yet Sarah Palin is hopelessly oblivious to that fact. It is my hope of hopes that Sarah soon disappears into the pantheon of losing vice presidential candidates who went on to have nothing to offer to the society in which they live. Go away, Sarah. Go away. Please. Kathy in Maine.
Ain't Sarah Palin just because you're good at shooting? Doesn't mean you have the ammo to negotiate with Putin. Are you on coke? This country's up in smoke. Oh, what a joke.
Oh, it's Mutiny Conti Pete.
Just because I can see the moon doesn't make me an astronaut. You and your foreign policy expertise is poo. Do you really?
Yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Lynn Suits Lamkin, who sends a message in memory of Joe Suits, who at age 16 killed himself after being diagnosed with schizophrenia, and for all those who suffer so. Thanks for the sponsorship, Lynn, but I'm sad about your brother. Tea Party reactions to the Tucson tragedy. Devin Burghart writing at where to credit it, but Devin Burghart posted this yesterday. In the wake of the shooting, Tea Parties might have been gracious and acknowledged the tenacity and humanity of their erstwhile opponent. See, Gabrielle Giffords ran against Jesse Kelly, who was endorsed by several local Tea Parties, and Kelly lost the race by just over one percentage point, or about 4,000 votes. Instead of being gracious, gracious and the word Tea Partiers cannot be used in the same sentence. Instead, several leaders of national Tea Party groups have attempted to use the shooting to paint themselves as the victims. Well, of course, it's just like Sarah Palin. And to lash out once again at those they deem their enemies. In an email to Tea Party Nation members Judson Phillips, you know who he is, why he is allowed to put his face on national television is would be beyond me if I didn't understand the gangster capitalism nature of corporate-owned television. Judson Phillips, though, urged Tea Party supporters to blame liberals for the attack. In an email, he said, quote, "The left is coming and will hit us hard on this. We need to push back harder with the simple truth that the shooter was a liberal lunatic." Emphasis on both words, end quote. And this punk, this Phillips, also declared that the era of agreeing to disagree was over. Now, this is after the massacre. He told Roll Call, quote, "The aftermath of today's shooting is the official obituary for political civility in this country. The left has simply gone too far. There can be no civil discourse with people as crazy as those on the left are," end quote. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? And that's what I said the other day when somebody said maybe this will, no, I don't think anybody said it, but the idea that maybe things would tamp down as Mr. Obama has been begging for. No, it's not going to happen until these non-humans evolve out of the human race. It may take a couple more generations. And what normal humans have to do is survive. Survival of the fittest, right? Those that fit in most into an orderly, rational, just, compassionate society. That's not teabaggers. Teabaggers are all psychopaths with full-blown, enormous amygdalas that are constantly screaming in their heads, pain, fear, fear, watch out, fear, fear, pain, pain, run, run, kill, shoot, fear, fear, oh my God, what's over there? What's over there? What's up there? What's down there? Look out, fear, 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 fear. Continuing to ramp up the confrontational rhetoric on the Monday after the shootings, Phillips sent out his ninth email to supporters on this subject. Quote, first you liberals want to destroy liberty. Fear, fear, over there, where? And freedom in this country. Fear, we in the Tea Party movement are not going to let that happen. Fear, fear, terrorists, fear, fear, fear. Second, you started this fight. We could have all taken a moment to decently mourn the murder of six Americans and the attempted assassination. Fear, 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 watch out, run, of the United States congressman. No, as a congresswoman, you half-witted moron. As many of us were told as children, you do not start a fight, but you finish a fight. Fear, fear, watch out, fear. Oh my God, fear, look out, over there, up there, down there, hello, run, run, quick, grab your gun, grab your gun, grab your gun, grab your gun, fear, fear. Something interesting happened in politics, Judson Phillips wrote. In the last 48 hours, the left thought they could pin this on the Tea Party movement and destroy it. Fear, fear, here they come, fear, watch out, grab your gun, fear, fear. Their plan has backfired. Now they're the ones who want to change this debate and ignore their role in it. They only want to fix an undeserved blame on conservatives. Fear, 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 I'm scared, run, get your gun, hide, run, get the gun, get the gun, get the gun, get the gun, run, fear, fear, fear. We are not going to let that happen. From Judson Phillips, another cowardly bastard who operates as a Tea Partier. Fear, fear, run, quick, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun, run, hide, run, 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 hide, hide, get your gun, get your gun. God. And like this freak, Sal Russo, the chief strategist behind the Tea Party Express, claimed that the alleged shooter was really a leftist. Fear! Fear! He told Fox News that shooting suspect Jared Lee Loeffner was obviously a leftist. He admired Mein Kampf. And the Communist Manifesto. These are not volumes that are popular with the Tea Party. So he was obviously a left-wing anarchist. He was probably anti-Semitic, too. Fear, fear, fear. Run, hide, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun, get your gun. Fear, 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 fear. One of the volumes popular with Tea Partiers is Taking Back America, One Tea Party at a Time. Russo should be familiar with the work since it was written by Mark Williams, the founding chairman of the Tea Party. Fear, fear, run, get your gun, Express. And it was sold on the popular Tea Party Express bus tours. I'm afraid to fly, I'm afraid to fly. I'll poop all over myself. Fear, fear, guns, watch out, that's a terrorist. Look out, watch out, fear, fear, here they come, fear, fear. Russo apparently chose to overlook Williams' invocation of political violence. Quote from the book, it is time for not just Republicans, but all Americans to regroup and stage our own coup. That's right, coup. Fear, fear, watch out, get your gun, run, hide, quick, run, 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 get your gun, get your gun. In the wake of the shootings, the Tea Party Express also sent out a fundraising email. Oh, there's a surprise. The child's corpse was even cold yet, and these goddamn ghoulish vampires are trying to collect money. Nice work, you swine. You filthy, filthy America-hating swine. The fundraising email proclaimed that they won't be silenced. Fear! And ask for contribution. We need money, guns, guns, bullets, fear, run. Quick, 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 money, money, money. My God. The defining characteristic of a conservative is cowardice. The second one is ignorance. But there they are. Yeah, there they are. Quick! Let the world know it was a bunch of leftists. That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And to claim that a communist is an anarchist? I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? What kind of nonsense is that? The most ordered, tyrannical, controlled society outside the Catholic Church was Russian communism, Soviet communism. That's not anarchism or anarchy, you moronic freaks in the Tea Party, but you get everything wrong. You couldn't find your ass with both hands if somebody turned you around and pointed to it. I'll be right back. Waves of fear.
I'm too afraid to use the phone, I'm too afraid to put the light on, I'm so afraid I've lost control, I'm suffocating without a word, crazy with sweat, spill on my jaw, what's that funny noise, what's that on the floor, waves of fear, pulsing with death, I curse at my tremors, I jump at my own step, I cringe at my terror, I hate my own self, I know where I
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour.
It's bad, you know.
Once again, the hour has been sponsored by Lynn Suit Slamkin. In memory of Joe Suits, who at age 16 killed himself after being diagnosed with schizophrenia, and for all those who suffer so. Thanks for the sponsorship, Lynn. I'm sorry about your family member. Truly. You want to hear the latest about what the House Republicans at sea now? They have insisted that the Constitution be read, except that part about black folk being three-fifths of a human being and a few other things. But House Republicans have renamed several congressional committees by changing or removing certain words such as civil rights and labor from their titles. The Education and Labor Committee became the Education and Workforce Committee. Whoa, Winston Smith, you sneaky rat bastard. You're still alive. O'Brien didn't kill you. Oh, my God. A Republican-run House led by the Newt first changed the committee name to Education and the Workforce back in 1994 to demonstrate anti-union policies. When Democrats regained control of the House in 2006, they changed the name back to Education and Labor. Congress founded the Education and Labor Committee in 1867. The Subcommittee on Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties is to be renamed the Constitution Subcommittee. You see what they're doing? You see what they're doing? Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, chairman of the Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties since 2007, spoke out against Republican plans to rename the panel and remove the word civil rights and civil liberties. Nadler said in a press release, quote, "Once again, the new Republican majority has shown that it isn't quite as committed to the Constitution as its recent lofty rhetoric would indicate. It has yet again shown its contempt for key portions of the document, the areas of civil rights and civil liberties, by banishing these words from the title of the Constitution Subcommittee," end quote. Oh, and by the way, the incoming Constitution Subcommittee Chairman, Trent Franks, a Republican of, here's a surprise, Arizona, was listed as the most conservative member of the House in 2010 by the National Journal. He has said that black Americans received better treatment as slaves than they do today, stating, "Far more of the African-American community is being devastated by the policies of today than they were being devastated by the policies of slavery." Can you effing believe this? You niggers were better off during slavery, when you didn't have to worry about the things you do now because massa took care of them for you back then. Right, boys? Right, girls? The Constitution Subcommittee Chairman, Trent Franks, said that black Americans receive better treatment as slaves than they do today. The incoming Constitution Subcommittee Chairman, Trent Franks, listed as the most conservative member of the House in 2010 by the National Journal, said that black Americans received better treatment of slaves than they do today. It's astonishing. What are you and I doing about it? I'll tell you, all we have to do, it's very simple. All we have to do is nothing. Do you understand me? You don't have to listen to Glenn Beck and go get a Glock 9 and start shooting people, or listen to Sarah Palin and start assassinating members of Congress, or listening to Rush Limbaugh and pushing homeless people in front of suburban trains. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do, no violence at all, not even any action. Not just no violence, truth seeker, no action. Nothing. All you have to do is someday we all wake up in the morning and by previous agreement, every normal person in the United States stay the hell home. Or if you want to get really active, get in your car, get on your train, take a bus, grab a cab, tell the driver to take you to the center of town, and then sit down. Whether your town is 500 population Berg in Nebraska or New York City, that's all. Just sit down if you're feeling really active in the middle of town. If you're not feeling really active when you wake up on that great getting up morning, don't do anything. Just stay home. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. And we don't have a sponsor this hour. Mary Beth in Colorado writes, "Don't forget we spent 8 years of Bush-Cheney pushing fear down our throats. It got them elected twice and allowed them to put us into two illegal wars. The liberals and progressives have generally stood strong in the face of fear over the years. Can we do it again and make a difference?" Mary Beth in Colorado. I think so. I really do. You know, when you're surrounded by shrieking banshee-like cowards who are essentially afraid of their own shadows. I mean, I have never seen a group of people, and their screaming is much louder than their actual numbers. And the reason they have such a huge megaphone is because the national media plays this up. National media loves to focus on psychopaths. Loves to. The national media loves to focus on sociopaths because it makes good television. You know, somebody approaching an elected member of Congress in a town hall meeting, threatening that person and pushing his finger into that member of Congress's chest. Ooh, that's really great. That's like parliament in Korea, you know, where they all beat each other with chairs every once in a while. Isn't that great video? Yeah, the progressives, liberals, normal people, whether they declare themselves progressives or liberals or not, anyone who is normal, who sees life as an adventure, something fun, something to, if you were in scouting, Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, you were told the same thing I was. You leave your campsite neater than when you found it. You clean up your messes. Or better yet, you don't make them to begin with. But this toxic narcissism that is Palin and Beck and the rest of these right-wing screamers, we can endure it. There's really nothing that we can do about it until we get serious and just stop the entire machine. What was that? Kathy, will you find me that Mario Savio quote? Just Google Mario Savio. It was a famous quote about, and it was way back in, God, what, 62, 63? I think it was before the assassination of John F. Kennedy. But there comes a time when the machine becomes so toxic, so vile. God, if Savio were alive today. Where you have to throw yourself into the gears. And Savio was speaking metaphorically. I mean, he doesn't expect you to break into U.S. Steel and throw your crushed body. Did you find it yet? Yeah, forward that to me here because I want to. I want to share that. There's a company over here in South Carolina, Palmetto State Armory. That's the name of the company. Sounds real official, doesn't it? But it's a gun and accessories company and is now selling semi-automatic rifle components inscribed with "You lie!" That's right. A tribute to the infamous crack from this brain-damaged bastard, Joe Wilson, 2nd District Republican Congressman. He shouted at Obama during a congressional speech about national health care reform in the fall of 2009. The other night I said that was State of the Union. No, it was just a congressional speech to both houses. You lie! This is gangster capitalism. The company's website now says, Palmetto State Armory would like to honor our esteemed Congressman Joe Wilson with the release of our new ULI AR-15 lower receiver. Only 999 of these will be produced. Get yours before they are gone. In the aftermath of a mass shooting at an Arizona political event that left a federal judge dead and Democratic Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords in critical condition, the media has been placing much attention at the intersection of guns and political speech. Person who answered the phone at Palmetto State Armory referred questions to company president Jamin McCollum, who the phone answerer said designed the ULI component. McCollum did not return emails about how and when the idea for a ULI rifle component came up. My God. Why do all of these rat bastards reside in the South? Huh? I know you people who don't live down here often ask the same question. What is wrong with the South? You ought to live here. Here it is. Bodies Upon the Gears speech. Mario Savio, December 2nd, 1964. Okay. On the steps of Sproul Hall, University of California, Berkeley, he said the following. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. Wonder why this insurrectionist bastard over in South Carolina doesn't put that on a AR-17 component, huh? Oh, well. And I think Savio understood, even in 64. My God, how many years ago was that? 46 years ago? Yeah. I think he understood even then that making the machine stop only means don't support it. Matter of fact, he said that. You can't even passively take part. You make it stop very simply. You don't blow it up. You don't set it on fire. You don't send a drone aircraft out to missile it. You just turn your back on it. You just stop. That's all you have to do. And I wonder, sometimes I really do, if I were famous like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or Sarah Palin and had the power of a billion microphones like they do, or a billion receivers, I think I would try to inspire people to pick a day and stop and let gangster capitalism know we've had enough.
This is no time for celebration. This is no time for saluting flags. This is no time for inner searchings. The future is at hand. This is no time for phony rhetoric. This is no time for political speech. This is a time for action.
Make your
the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. The journalist Greg Patton in Florida sent me this piece about Limbaugh's take on all this. Not that you or I care, but to show you the insanity, the utter sociopathology of these people being these crazy right-wingers, where it concerns the sheriff. Limbaugh says, "This sheriff, Clarence Stupnick, is an anti-conservative." Really? Regarding the so-called social safety net that the pigs like Limbaugh have spent decades cutting holes in, he says this. "Loeffner is obviously deranged, so where's the left safety net? Haven't we spent trillions of dollars to build a system to catch these disturbed people? Where's the evidence that their compassion works?" This is madness. This filthy pig spouts madness, insanity. The Oklahoma City template. "Sad tragedies where people die are seen first as political opportunities by these people. The Republicans had nothing to do with the bombing in Oklahoma City, but it's seen as a political opportunity for Bill Clinton. This is now the same template." Astonishing. On criminalizing speech. "Now they're shutting down any opposition and criminalizing it. They've had a plan filed away in a drawer to take away as many of our political freedoms as they can. The Democrats just lost an election. And now the only other thing they can try to do is silence the opposition." Can you believe this? On violence. "It's not the right. It's the left that glorifies criminal behavior and violent imagery. No, no, they say, that's art. Rap music? That's art?" He's like Neil Bortz. He always comes back to the black thing. No matter what the black thing is, fashion, music, art, education, the black thing. Do you know Bortz and Limbaugh almost went insane when a black man became president of the United States? Legally, nobody fudged the votes. He actually won. So it's about race, isn't it, you pigs? Huh? Sure. "Democrats are ghouls," Rush says. "They privately are thankful for Tucson because they think it advances their sick and perverted purposes." Democrats versus the majority. Even though in every single poll ever taken, Democrats are the majority. We are just, I don't know, disorganized. By linking Loeffner to the right, Limbaugh warned, "Democrats are taking aim at a majority." Taking aim. "Democrats are taking aim at a majority of the people in this country. This is not 1988 or 1993 when the drive-by media had total control. I'm not going to be silenced." "They're accusing a majority of Americans of being accomplices to murder." No, you filthy pig, we're not. We're saying you and 15 or 20 of your disgusting, slimy cadre are accomplices to murder. You, pig man. And then this. "In no time has anybody ever called for violence. We've never subtly promoted it. And by the way, the Democrats' language is and was worse." You see this, right? So for anyone who thought that another mass killing, including a little girl and a member of a judge and an attempted assassination on a member of Congress, that somehow that would snap the heads of these sons of bitches back and make them say, "Well, wait a minute, maybe we've gone too far." Don't kid yourself. gangster capitalism that supports these rats, continues to support the rats while the rats sit there, and if they're not laughing and chuckling at the bloodstains and the blown out brain and skull parts, they're talking about how it's the left's fault. And that goddamn Mike Malloy. You know, I cannot believe the attention that I've gotten with my little 25-cent program in the last 6 or 7 days. Most of it sneaking around behind my back. I am being held up, even by some of the members of the so-called left, as an example of the rhetoric that has caused this coming from the left. Me. Huh? 4 stations stream my program. Maybe 25 or 30 carry it. I'm on Sirius and XM and the internet. Well, you know what? I'm going to track down all of you right-wingers, and I'm going to bite you in the ass!
Yes, you know you got to get right with God.
C-SPAN, so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
Now don't forget, I've got a Twitter account now. No flying monkeys. That's my life philosophy, but it's also the name of the Twitter account. Come and join in the fun. No flying monkeys. From Nora. Hi, Mike. President Obama made the case for civility in that Tucson Memorial address tonight. Civility? What does civility, synonymous with politeness, have to do with lies, disinformation, and propaganda? One can use those despicable exploitative techniques and still behave with civility. That part was insulting to Mike. To any committed activist who, like Dr. Helen Caldicott, utilizes righteous indignation to get herself through the long haul of working for just outcomes. Thugs and creators of murderous, thieving situations like Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger have always been soft-spoken. Case closed. President Obama also said he believes we are all full of decency and goodness. How deep and long do we have to look for that decency and goodness in, for example, sociopaths and psychopaths, Mr. President? How long and deep do we have to search for that decency and goodness, for example, in those who develop our drone policy? Is there decency and goodness tucked away behind the racists who lynch people for being black? And the decency and goodness somewhere in the bigots who beat gays to death? And decency and goodness somewhere in the misogynists who prey on women when underpaying women? You might call it economic rape, and physically abusing women, that would be body rape. Can there be any movement to secure peace and justice if we must focus only on seeing the opponent's decency and goodness? Is this religious healing more important and valuable than authentic peace and justice? Personally, in my life, I've seen the country at least codify civil rights. A success like that is better than being polite to bigots, learning to put up with insults and injustice and call that healing, or recognize the decency and goodness in the bigots who would keep me down forever if they could. And the end of Obama's address made me uncomfortable. The president finished up with a patriotic spiel that conjured up a furled and fluttering flag. I especially feel sorry for those who lost loved ones and personal friends. I would not like to have my loved ones' frightening death used to encourage patriotic fervor, the purpose of which is usually a part of jingoism. It gave the address the feel of a campaign kickoff speech at the end of the State of the Union address. Or the end of a State of the Union address. And hearing Napolitano and Eric Holder read Christian Bible excerpts, I won't say much more than this. I appreciate separation of church and state and want it maintained, especially in the work of these individuals. Unfailing strength for those who are hurting. Keep on keeping on. Nora. Yeah, it was unsettling to me too. I don't doubt Mr. Obama's sincerity in talking about civility, but Barack Obama has instituted more drone attacks on people in Pakistan and Afghanistan in the first 18 months of his presidency, I don't know where it is now, than the murderer George W. Bush and Dick Cheney did in their entire term as gangsters running this country. Now, okay, they didn't start the drone attacks until a couple, 3 years, maybe at the beginning of Bush's second term. But still, it leaves anyone who's rational with if nothing else, a sense of equilibrium being terribly disturbed here, a sense of balance. Like, wait a minute. We're talking about civility, and yet we are killing Pakistani civilians and Afghan civilians. We are murdering innocent people. We're killing 9-year-old children over there. And we do it with impunity. And then we have our military commanders or State Department apologize profusely to the government of Pakistan as if they give a goddamn, or to the government of Afghanistan, this thuggish Hamid Karzai. Oh, and I think we do send a check now, don't we? Was it $2,200 to the survivors? What, we got your 5-year-old, your 8-year-old, and your 12-year-old? Ah, damn. Here's $6,600. Bye now. So it's just hell to be this much of a cynic. It's just very uncomfortable. Because I'd like to just not think like this. I really would. I'd love to not think that when I watch this guy who has the rhetorical flourishes of a Southern preacher, he does. He has the cadences. He's got it. He's got it down. Maybe some people in some parts of the country don't get that. But I've been in the South for 45 years, and I'll tell you something. You get with a good Southern Baptist, hell, Southern Methodist preacher, and I don't care if you're a full-blown atheist like I am. You get in that church, listen to the choir, warm up the group, and then let that preacher come out. Man, you could be down in there at the railing asking for a blessing. Help me, Jesus! Before it's all over. Obama had nothing to do with the South. He had nothing to do with American Negroes. So I don't know where he got it. But he's got it. So when I watch him and I'm totally taken in the moment, totally absorbed with what he's saying, preach, brother. Say it. Tell it. And then when it's all over and I come out of that kind of mystical cloud or ether or something that I seem to fall into every single time. And I think, wait a minute, this is a guy who orders 9-year-old children in Pakistan to be blown into red mist. And then the person on the other side of my head says, no, he doesn't. He doesn't target children. That's collateral damage. That's not intentional. Oh, Well then, is that absolution? Does that purge him of any criminal act or responsibility or, dare I say it, sin? So, I'm beginning to realize in order, not beginning to realize, I've come to this conclusion a long time ago. In order to live in this society, you have got to be slightly off balance all the time. You have to be. Because if you try to be totally insane, or totally sane, and you want to maintain that sanity, then you'll just, at some point, just say, I can't do this anymore. And you'll stop. And you'll just really check out, off the grid. Goodbye. Thanks for all the fish. I'm out of here. And you move someplace, and you become totally apolitical. You just give it up. What's that term, Kathy, of holding two rabidly oppositional ideas in your head at the same time? No. You know, the ability to hold two opposing ideas at the same time. Not ambivalence. What the hell is the term? Well, somebody please send me a... let me see if somebody in the chat room will come up with the term. Not double think. Cognitive dissonance. Thanks, Dunish. Cognitive dissonance. I'm sick of these senior moments. But to do that, or in Orwell's term, double think. To be able to be required to do that in order to maintain, to remain upright. If cognitive dissonance or if doublethink is an absolute requirement, how long can you do that? Just like Winston Smith said, I see four fingers. I know you're telling me five. I want to see five, but I see four. And then O'Brien just very simply changed his brain wave patterns. Changed everything for him. How many do you see now, Winston? Five. Are you sure you see five? Yes, I do. I really see five.
Working for something that I can't touch and sometimes can't even believe in. Oh, oh. Cradled by the hands of fate, the fate that sometimes wraps around too tight. So tight. They call me free.
Ten before the hour. Tim from LA writes, Mike, Sarah Palin shut down her Facebook page, and prior to shutting it down, many commented in her, I guess that's what Tim means, sincerest condolences to the victims of right-wing shooter Jared Loughner, including this one. Quote, if you had any belief Sarah Palin had an ounce of humanity or Christian love in her being, the following should wipe that away completely. The following was posted by Tina, last name removed, on Palin's Facebook page. The comment concerned the death of 9-year-old Christina Taylor Greene, one of the six people killed Saturday. This is what it said. It's okay. Christina Taylor Greene was probably going to end up a left-wing, bleeding-heart liberal anyway. T Tina wrote. She went on, hey, as they say, what would you do if you had a chance to kill Hitler as a kid? Exactly. I am stunned beyond belief that they published something so hateful about a nine-year-old girl. The Tea Party and Sarah Palin, the faces of hatred in the 21st century. And Tim closes by saying, this is what we're up against. Yeah, it's the same attitude that Mengele had when he would do experiments in the death camps, people who were going to be burned anyway, so what difference did it make, right? And the experiments against identical twins, children, old people. Let's take this person and submerge them in ice water and see how long they live. You know, it's that same idea. And for me, a man who grew up in this country, who used to really believe in the stories and the legends and the deceits that I was taught as a kid in school and in church and civic groups that I was a member of or participated in, everything from the YMCA to the Boy Scouts, bless their hearts. To find out the truth, not that the truth was ever hard to discover if you were willing to really take a look, but to find out the truth, that was just heartbreaking. And then to see the rise of this Nazi class in this country, okay, I shouldn't say Nazi, that was a specific period in time, the fascist class in this country. The gangster capitalists, the people who display every single day on radio and television their utter and absolute contempt for this country and everybody in it, the Palins, the Limbaughs, the Becks, the rest of these swine. That was a real heartbreaker. I believed the stories and the myths. I really did. I believed it all, man. I went for it. I was a perfect little sponge. Anything that they put me near, I absorbed. Stand up and recite the pledge as a kid until we came back to school in, what, 54, and they had changed it. Under God. Oh, okay. I can remember going to church, Methodist church, at home, Baptist church, when I visit my grandparents. And behind both of the lectern, podium, what do you call that part where the preacher stands? Why am I asking you? You don't know either. But behind, pulpit, thank you. Behind the pulpit, in both of these churches, there was an American flag. On the one side, on the other side, was this strange flag, blue and white, and when you held it out, there was a, to me, it looked like a cross of St. George or something. The Christian flag. What? A Christian flag? Oh, that's cool. And the music? Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. You know, I used to sing that. I used to think, wow, this is a cool song. All of that stuff, you know, I was so absorbed by it, and I absorbed it. A Boy Scout. I was a boy. I made it to star rank. Two below Eagle, which isn't saying a lot, but all of that stuff. My God, I feel like I'm writing a Paul Simon song here. But you know what I'm saying. A lot of you listen to this program, this little 25-cent radio program, who know exactly what I'm talking about because you were brought up the same way. And we had a couple of crazies back in the day. Every once in a while, a real sociopath would gain some kind of prominence and get a national forum like Joe McCarthy oh, I don't know, usually somebody in the military, Lyman Lemnitzer or some of these freaks. But they were immediately shielded from the public by the press. No, 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 we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that, no. So they could do their filthy, dirty work in the basement with the spiders and roaches and rats. And now those people have brought the spiders and roaches and rats right up here to the living quarters where we all exist, and they toss them at us every single day. It's been a hell of an adjustment, I'll tell you. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.